When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
That was a good first hour. If you want to catch up on any of it, the podcast, it was very educational, what we learned about fencing, talking about footy grounds in the wet, and some memories as kids. Andrew from Newcastle said, I distinctly remember playing a game of footy as a child in Molong, where we were in the midst of a mouse play. There was literally hundreds of dead mice on the field. Play on! Play on! Didn't worry. You played on! The dead rodents all over the field, you play
See,
on!
That's
you played in the mud, weird. Played in all conditions. We heard the person, Kadubi, you played on the ice. The field's covered in ice. You play on.
Yeah.
No risk. Yeah. Kids, Vossi, so many grounds shut.
Incredible game in Madrid. And it was Bayern who were leading 1-0. We were 2 minutes short of regulation time winding up. We did have ended up having 16 minutes of injury stoppage time. 16 minutes of stoppage time. And Real Madrid have won the game. 2-1. Yes. Real Madrid scored in the 88th and the 91st minute. God. So a magic three-minute period for Real Madrid. They go through to yet another Champions League final. They will play Borussia Dortmund, who unexpectedly find themselves in the final.
If you have a spare trophy lying around the house, maybe send it over to Harry Kane. So another year passes. He went to Bayern Munich. Big chance. And, of course, Bayer Leverkusen and the Bundesliga have been so good unbeaten this year, so no trophy there, and now the Champions League, bang, was all looking good for a while. We are here for Brighton's lawyers, unable to work due to injury or illness. Contact Brighton's lawyers. Later in the program, Sydney FC's Jaden Kaczarski. Now, while you're away in Japan, Sydney FC have kept up some pretty good form. Brandy knocking out MacArthur last week. Are you on the bus?
The Sydney FC, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Well, so the Wanderers are gone, aren't they?
Yep. Yeah, Wanderers, yeah, okay. Wanderers didn't make it.
Right.
Just missed out on the playoffs.
Mm, yep. And we've got Melbourne Victory and Wellington left on the other side.
Okay. Exactly.
Well,
yes.
Oh, well, of course, naturally, I'm on the Central Coast bus. Central Coast or Sydney?
No, Central Coast or Sydney FC. That's what we're saying. Are you on the Sydney? It's a very tough choice because Central Coast.
I'm a great admirer of the Central Coast.
Oh, so you go on that bus.
Well, they're Asian champions too.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, anyway.
So I'm on the Central Coast bus.
All right, well, I'm going to go with the Sky Blue. Who do we sing for? Jaden Kaczarski coming up on the show later. He is a real live wire. He's a real talent, 21 years of age. This is some of his work from last Saturday night.
Kaczarski! Oh, and that's three! Jaden Kaczarski picking up the ball from Robbie Mack and just steering it beyond the hapless dive.
So yeah, we're going to be positive today. We've got a big semi-final. Sydney FC taking on the Central Coast. Massive semi-final. But the stories over the last couple of days on the A-League haven't been positive.
Oh, no.
Now, the broadcast deal, which they signed with a company that they were basically our version of NEP, and if people, they produce the broadcast. So they signed
production
with a
production house, yeah. All the equipment.
Production house. Yeah. They fell over. Now, there's talk. Currently, the salary cap is 2.25. You can spend up to a maximum of 2.6. They're talking about the grant from the broadcast deal now being either $1 million or less for the seasons going forward, which leaves some clubs in a bit of a hole. Like the Central Coast, they run in the smell of an oily rag, yet have been fantastic in what they've been able to achieve. But you know, you take another, whatever, $1 million out of the cap, out of the money granted by the broadcaster. It's the A-League's in a bit of trouble. They'll sort themselves out, but they're in a bit of trouble.
Well, you say that. You say that they'll sort themselves out, but no, it's a struggle. It's a real struggle, great uncertainty. Now, I'm just before, ahead of Michael Carrianos coming on the program with Rugby League News. Folks, if you're driving, I think it's probably best if you pull the car over. Because in a week of great stats, we've produced another one. Now, let's just go over. This is the trilogy of stats. Last week, Ben Hornby, when Penrith beat South Sydney 42-12, Ben Hornby's first game as NRL coach, it was revealed his debut as an NRL player, he was beaten by Penrith 42-12. So 24 years apart, same team, same score.
Same score.
Mind blown. Wally the Statsman comes on board ahead of the Canberra Manly game on our show last Thursday and said Canberra in their history, every time they've been beaten to zero, he just let us know that they have bounced back to win the next week, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
And so it was 2 weeks ago, beaten 40-0 by the Sharks. They go in as underdogs against Manly. They're even down 20-0 in the game, and they come back and win. Mind blown. They're now 9 from 9, Canberra in their history. Are you ready for the third of the trilogy stats? You ready to have your mind blown, Brady?
I don't know. Not after those two. I don't know if I am, but tell us anyway.
What month is it, Brandy?
May 9 it is. That's the date.
Can you think of any rugby league players with a surname May?
Taylan May.
Yeah. Who else?
Terrell May.
Terrell May. Any others?
And Tyrone.
First week of May, last weekend, on opposite sides of the world. Let's go through it. May 2, last Thursday, Taylan May, try scorer, Penrith. Tick, one of the brothers. First week of May. May 2.
Good Taylan try, May. Too.
May 3, Friday night, Terrell May. Doesn't just get one, he scores two tries. The brother, boy, the young brother, the front rower, he gets
don't
on the... He doesn't get too many tries.
Don't Terrell tell May. Me Tyrone May scored
the next
try.
The next day, consecutive day, May the 4th, playing for Hull KR, Tyrone May scores the first try. Taylan May, Terrell May, Tyrone May, first week of May, score tries on consecutive days. Bang, mind blown.
Crap stat. Crap stat.
Come on, it's not a crap stat. That's amazing. It's May.
That is amazing.
That's amazing, Brent.
Amazing.
That's the sort of gear you get here. You're not getting that on Ben Fordham. I tell you, he's not coming up with that sort of gear. Hey? Kyle and Jackie O, up yours, baby. We're giving you those sort of stats. There we
go.
That's
not happening anywhere else.
Is that one of the great stats of all time?
That
the maze. The maze. Yeah. And I can't claim credit for that. That was put on a podcast over in England, I think. Someone in England revealed that and searched that out. But there you go.
Some train spotter.
First week of May. 7:10, you're listening to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. We produce the greatest stats of all time. And now Michael Carrianos, we come down from that. Back to Michael.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with Michael Carrianos.
MC, how's things?
Well, Brandy, not as refreshed as you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Konnichiwa.
I can't remember Michael ever going away mid-year. I mean, he's absolutely shoulder of the wheel.
That's all right. From birthing wards and everything, I'm in.
Okay. 360 last night?
360 last night, yeah. Pretty tame show, boys, last night. Pretty chill. A few laughs. A few smiles. Don't get to see that too often on there.
No, you don't. Well, that's
a
good
thing. What happened? Need a shot of helium before the show or something. What happened?
that's a bit unusual. Okay, so where do we start today? Dane Gagai?
Yeah. Obviously, this is a situation that sort of Dave Ricketts has been all over the last couple of days. And, you know, if you asked me 24, 48 hours ago, I would have thought that he would have ended up at the Roosters with a 2-year guaranteed deal to join the club, but instead he's re-signed with the Newcastle Knights, and it's an interesting deal. It's a straight-up 12-month contract, and then the second year it's a mutual option, and the way, you know, mutual options work in all different ways, but the way this one's going to work for Dane Gagai and the Newcastle Knights is that both parties have to agree to the deal for a further 12 months, so essentially it's only a 12-month deal. There's no safety blanket for that second year. There's no guarantee for that second year because if either party go, no, you know, I don't think that's what we want for 2026, then it won't happen.
Gee, that's the mutual agreement is a funny one, I think.
Injury free though. But he'll get to 300 games too, 300 career games, not at one club, but injury free next year he'll hit 300 games too, Dane Gagai.
Yeah, the mutual one's interesting because you look at they're all different sort of scenarios. You look at the Dragons with Jack Bird. Jack Bird has a mutual option for next season, and for the Dragons, it's at X amount, which is a higher amount for them to take up that deal for next year. And then for Jack, it's at a lower amount for him to take up that deal for next year. So that they all work in different ways.
Mm, yeah. Now, something that caught both our eyes, the what's going on? The police officer's under investigation for throwing an item at a referee during a game. It's mind-boggling.
Bizarre story here, boys, that is in today's paper. I'd heard that there'd been some dramas around the Sydney Roosters Melbourne game last month at Allianz Stadium, and then making a few calls. It comes out that two police officers, they were off-duty police officers, are now being investigated by the police for throwing an apparent projectile at the referees and the match officials as they walk from the ground. Three people have been banned from venues New South Wales because of those actions, and two of those are police officers. And the two police officers have also been banned from attending any NRL games. So it's quite a bizarre story where we have these police officers throwing projectile. It missed the referees as they came from the field, but still very dangerous situation. And as a result, now their positions, I guess, would be under scrutiny in the New South Wales Police Force as police conduct their own investigations to not only look to see if any charges should be laid, because that can occur and has occurred in the past, but also their positions in the police force.
MC, I've got a question here from the League Nut. It's a text message. He said, can you ask MC how Fifita is allowed to meet with other clubs before he lets the Titans know if he's going to take up their offer? Do the Titans have a right to take action?
Ooh, interesting point. I think because technically he's off contract because he doesn't have to inform the Titans until kickoff of round 10. So it's not like he's technically contracted. I think by the letter of the law.
Yeah, but there's no surprise to it. Like, it's not as if it's been done behind closed doors. Everyone knows about it. So obviously the league are good with it. So they've obviously rubber stamped clubs to chat to David Fifita. Otherwise it wouldn't be happening.
He's essentially a free agent there, boys, because he's got that option in his favour. I can understand the confusion a little bit, but he does have that option in his favour. So I think you'll find that he's definitely in his rights to speak to whoever he wants to.
Mm. And he has until kickoff in tonight's game, the Dolphins-Eagles, to inform the Titans, whether
how
he takes
that
up that two-year option.
Does he actually, just on that, does he call? Does his manager call?
There'll be an email as well just to formalise things to either, the CEO or the recruitment manager, whatever the case may be, or all of them. And then I'm assuming you'd expect the player to reach out to the coach at the very least to inform him of his decision.
Yes, exactly. And I would think if he's staying, he'll just ring Des and say, I'm staying.
No.
And if he's not, it'll be...
If he's going, it'll be like the famous Cheech and Chong thing that the Titans will refuse. He'll say, Des, it's Dave. And Des will say, Dave's not here. No, it's me, Dave. Dave's not here. Go away. They'll just play dumb to it, It's just like... man. So he would... For the CEO, Steve Mitchell's the CEO, he would have all the players' names. The number wouldn't flash up. It'd be the name flash up. Would you let the call slide through? Would you? It'd be with some trepidation, wouldn't you? Dave Fifita. Okay. Hello, Dave. Which way? What's doing? How are you? Would there be any small talk? It would be just cut the crap. What's doing? How's the family, Dave? All right. How's your day been? Yeah, I went down shopping. Yeah. What'd you have? No.
It's
a rugby league keeps on giving. Extraordinary situation. Now, Jason Demetrio, getting good coverage in the Telegraph. So you boys have caught up with Jason. First big interview since getting the Basel from South Sydney.
Yeah, our man David Riccio has had a chat with Jason Demetrio, and you know, and he said that he still wants to coach in the NRL. Doesn't hold any bitterness to South Sydney. He's had an opportunity to reflect and undertake some learnings, I guess, of where it all went wrong. And you know, he'll sit there and do that. But he says that he wants to return to the head coaching caper at some point.
Mm. Okay, I wonder if he has to, if he has to come back through the assistant process again, whether it all starts again for Jason Demetrio. We'll see how that plays out. MC, we've got another question here from a must be a Dragons fan about the has Jack Bird got a further contract clause with the Dragons?
It's a clause. It's a mutual option, right? Where the Dragons can take it up at a premium amount, and then Jack can take it up at a lesser amount. I don't think you'll find the Dragons are going to take up Jack Steele at that top end. So it'll be up to Jack now to see if he takes it up at that lower scale.
Okay, further question on Jack Bird, and it was on the text. Brandy misread it. It did say, has he further contract clause with the Dargans? Of course, the 150 the NRL Dargans. Jersey did have the Dargans. Anyone fire that up? Does he actually get a correct one, or does he have to keep the Dargans jersey?
The I'll check it jersey. Up today and let you guys
Could you fire that, Michael? Did they actually go back to the embroiderer and say, what the hell? We're the Dragons, not the Dargans. Could you please get that right?
We got some liquid paper out and just wrote over the top of it.
Yeah, and now, Michael, another question. Any news on the Dragons extending Ben Hunt contract beyond 2025? Any news there?
No news there. I think it was a bit premature to suggest that the Dragons were going to start talks with Ben Hunt. There's nothing that's been formalised there. And to be honest, Ben Hunt hasn't been playing that great this year for the Dragons.
No, he hasn't. No, I agree with that. No, I'm even going to be controversial. In the two Manly losses, I thought Daly Cherry-Evans was off. The last week against Raiders and that loss they suffered to the Dragons down in Wollongong was a bit, certainly nowhere near their standards. They were off.
Well, you know who else? Another halfback who's getting towards the back end of his career who hasn't been playing good for the last 3 or 4 weeks, Sean Johnson.
This is true.
Sean Johnson and Ben Hunt have been really poor this year, and Daly's probably hasn't controlled the games or closed out the games that we'd seen him do so easily in the past.
But he's been good in good wins, but last week that's a game. They're up 20-0. Cherry-Evans, bang, put stamp on it. They don't lose from there. They did.
One of the strengths of Daly Cherry-Evans is he's been a great runner of the football. He's been a great running halfback. There was a moment in that game where I saw him. He got a pass back on the inside with a little bit of room to move, and he tried to beat one of the defenders, and he didn't look like beating him. And it's the first time I've thought, that looked a bit old. That just looked, I thought, the speed just wasn't there. Just to get around
a
defender.
Did it remind you of Darren Tracy, Brandy? Darren Tracy vibes for you.
Yeah. Could have been one of those moments, MC, moment. Where the tackler wow, could have moment. Said, you bloody old whatever. It was just Michael, that moment.
One last question. Fletch was very big on the run home with Joel and Fletch about Felice Kaufusi's hair. And this hairdo he's got the like bald right over the top of the head, and he's just let a little bit grow, Brandy. Have you seen it with Felice down the base of the back of the skull?
Didn't he say, I'm keeping that back bit so I can go to Turkey and there's still some hair there.
Lodge
so
style. Now, lots of people take interest in your situation, Michael. I hope you don't mind that we get a little personal, but has the Felice Kaufusi hairdo inspired any change, any conversations in the Karyanis household?
I can tell you what I will never be doing is a Felice Kaufusi hairstyle.
Right.
Okay. No chance.
Then we could clear that up. Yeah. Very good stuff, Michael. What's your tip for tonight, by the way? Dolphins and Manly. And it's on SEN and, of course, covered by Fox. Manly?
Yeah, Manly. Although the Dolphins have flown under the radar, I don't think we're giving them enough credit with how good they've been going, particularly with the injuries that they've had to start the season. They're going outstanding. And, you know, we've all been distracted by the Wayne Bennett future conversation, and which he probably likes at the moment because no one's really focusing on how good his side's going at the moment.
All righty.
They're a chance. Good on you, Michael. They are a chance.
Big chance. Big chance.
Yep. Good on you, MC. Well, have a good weekend.
Thanks,
there it is. We cleared up a lot of things there. Anthony says Hunt and DCE saving themselves for Origin. This one, yeah. Dragons captain Ben Hunt keen to bounce back from shocker against Sharks. He's writing a headline for us on the text line. The Edgewater Homes text line is 0457 736 736. Ben Hunt hasn't been great MC, but still got the most try assist by margin, though. But try assists are one of the more deceptive stats in the game. You throw to your last pass, you don't do anything. You can just shovel it along, and that goes down as a try assist.
And some of those, you get a try off a high ball that you put up.
Yeah,
if you're
exactly,
a halfback,
yeah.
You put a high ball up, well, obviously you come up with a try. And I think Ben Hunt's, there's a number of those assists for Ben Hunt coming off kicks.
And there, Craig also says, add Chad Townsend to poor form for older halfbacks. Good observation by Craig. Yeah, Chad Townsend.
Yeah, true.
Not setting the world on fire.
Quite.
Interesting situation that we're in with ageing playmakers in rugby league. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy here on the home of Sport SEN, wherever you're listening. A reminder, yes, rugby league coverage tonight, straight out of Run Home with Joel and Fletch. And we'll have Dolphins and Manly coverage after the Run Home. I think our coverage starts at 7 o'clock tonight, right here on SEN, the home of sport.
Vossie, coming up very shortly, we'll talk to Sydney FC's Jaden Kacharski. And don't forget, Throwback Thursday, Luke Diamond Phillips will join us to talk about his career and his refereeing and what he's doing now. Plenty of text coming through about just what we said. Has Hunt ever been a great organiser? I remember the semi versus South in 2018. He ran it on the last play. Boy, do you remember that? I remember that distinctly. Is that why DCE's the Queensland 7? Is he a rich man's Luke Brooks, says Macca.
Macca the Dragon. Wow, there's an interesting turn of phrase. This one, pardon me, Sean Johnson has been trying, but below average, carrying the Achilles injury. So I think it's affecting his running game. Think they would like to rest him, but no other options. That's from the Warrior Kiwi Rooster, observing the form of Sean Johnson. Yes, he has had the Achilles problem, But the common denominator with all these halfbacks is the birth certificate. So suddenly, when form drops, you're looking, oh, hang on a second. So, but it's all, we've been warning about this. What happens if these were all to retire around 34, 35? Where is the game left?
That's true.
So,
that is
true. All there. Adam Reynolds falling apart, with respect. You know, don't want it to happen, but he is.
Just sticky taping him together to get him out on the field. That's right. You know, what do the Warriors do? If Sean Johnson, has he missed a game this year? Who's seven? Who's stepping in?
Well, Chanel Harris, DeVita, Tamare Martin, they do have those halves.
I know they've
around
got halves.
Luke Metcalf injured, yes. But is there a seven, like, full-on organiser? No, is the answer.
Not.
Short answer to all of that. This question, just a point as we go to the news. Dom of Como Bridge says, top of the morning, gents. On the treatment of referees, which Jared Maxwell put out a pretty strong email yesterday, I see the AFL has Umpire Appreciation Week for all levels of officiating. Is that this week, or you're just saying in general they have an Umpire Appreciation Week? I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all, officials and that. I have no problem, qualms. We have so many rounds. And you know, we honour volunteers and all of this.
Let's give a shout out to the refs.
Yes, and to the young refs, male and female, doing their best across all sports, not just rugby league, across all sports that are putting in. Fellas, add Cody Walker to that list. He's stuck in the mud this year. Yes, Cody Walker. There's another 30-something struggling.
Our experienced number sevens and playmakers. It hasn't looked good over the last month.
Good stuff on the text line reacting. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. We're going to hop on the Sydney FC bus. Well, I am, not Brandy, in just a moment right here.
Central Coast. I'm Central Coast bus, Vossie. Come on.
Toot, toot.
Don't forget our open line, the Great Southern Bank open line number is 1300 01 1170.
Can we have a Bunker Appreciation Week, has been suggested on the text line. I shan't. I doubt that's going to happen, but Bunker Appreciation Week. Brady, yes or no?
Well, I don't know how well that will go down with everyone at the moment, especially not this week, not after last weekend. Yeah, probably a bad timing. Timing's everything, Vossie, but not an appreciation week for the Bunker. No.
Yeah, no, but thank you for the feedback. We're coming up with ideas. That's what we do. We workshop ideas, we discuss, we solve nothing in the end. But anyway, thanks for throwing that one into the mix. Now, replay again from last Saturday night. It was a big night for Sydney FC at Allianz Stadium, taking on MacArthur. Anytime it's sudden death finals, you know, there's always an extra tension. And so it was, but a bit of drama. There was a red card in the first half and Sydney FC got the job done. And this bloke, Jaden Kaczarski, scored a goal that had the crowd, caught it right in front of the Cove fans, Brandy, right in front of the Cove fans and sent them bananas.
Kaczarski, oh, and that's three. Jaden Kaczarski picking up the ball from Robbie Mack and just steering it beyond the hapless dive.
Yeah, Robbie Mack, by the way, had a double. And for the first time, we welcome, he is, we'll confirm it, is he the youngest member of the Sydney FC squad, 21 years of age. Jaden Kaczarski, welcome to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Morning, guys. How are you guys?
Very well. Thank you for coming on the program. Because there are some senior heads and very experienced players and, you know, terrific imports like Joe Lolly, who we had on the program last week. You would be one of the youngest, Jaden?
I think our youngest in the whole squad that signed is 16 or 17. But I think we had a boy that started, Hayden Matthews, who's 19, 20 at the minute. So I'm one of the younger boys, but not the youngest, I'd have to say.
Jaden, where did you play your junior soccer football?
I originally started with Glenwood Redbacks, like at the age of 4 or 5. And then I started playing with the SAP West Districts. And then went through Blacktown City and then Football New South Wales Institute for 2 years. And then I've been at the Sydney Academy since I was 13. So like 8 years now.
I've got to say, you've got a fan. Harry Voss gets a lot of mentions on these programs, but he's a fan of yours. He goes along. He's 13 years of age. Loves Andrew Redmayne. Of course, who doesn't love Andrew Redmayne? Joe Lolly he admires. But when you watch from above, you are a bit like the Energizer Bunny. You don't play at half speed. Would I be fair in saying that's one of the features of your play? You have fast feet. Things happen around you.
Yeah, I try my best. I try to get on. Obviously, sometimes the boss wants me to calm down a little bit. But sometimes when in these games, you want to continue the energy. Like we play a style that needs a lot of pressing and high work rate. So obviously, if you want to come on, you would need to be doing that if you want to be playing every week. So that's what I try and do. I try and create as much stuff as I can, bring the energy, continue from the starting team, and yeah.
Jaden, how much soccer do you watch? Like, did you get up this morning and watch Real Madrid take on Bayern Munich in the Champions League semi-final? Or do you watch a lot of the Premier League?
Yeah, I watch a lot of the Premier League, all the highlights. Sometimes the times are a bit like too early in the morning if I got training the next day, but I try and watch the 11 o'clock ones or the 5 o'clock ones. And then obviously with the Champions League this morning, I watched the second half just because I got training again this morning. So I'll watch a decent amount, yeah.
Can you just picture, like, and we were, you know, going, we were watching here and we were giving score updates. How badly would you like to be involved in a game like that? Real Madrid coming, like, imagine running out from Real Madrid in that game. You're down by one, you end up winning 2-1. It's amazing scenes.
Oh, it's crazy. Like, yeah, I can't say how many countless games I've watched where that's happened or anywhere close to that. So to be a part of a game like that or anything close to something like that would be unreal, and that's what I try and strive to get to.
Homegrown talent Jaden Kaczarski, our special guest this morning on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, ready for Sydney FC's battle against Central Coast Mariners tomorrow night. Now, Jaden, now Brandy, you say that. Jaden has actually achieved a moment, not on the Champions League stage, far removed, but in your resume is a 122nd minute goal, would I be right in saying? And I think it was against the Mariners, was it? Was it last year?
Yeah, it was. I was like in our preseason this year, it's the Australia Cup, so when we play against the NPL teams and everyone in Australia. So it was our first game, and it kind of like I think I scored, 122nd minute to make it 3-3 to send us to penalties.
There you go, Brandy. This man has delivered
that
in the moment.
Moment.
Well, 122nd minute equaliser. Pretty good.
Yeah. Now, so just back to as a young Australian football player, your goal would be to eventually play in the EPL. What are your goals?
I think, obviously, with playing for Sydney FC at the minute, I want to try and win as many stuff as possible. So, obviously, we won the Australia Cup. We're going to try and win the championship this year. And if things comes around, I'll try and like to move overseas, try and develop my career as far as possible. And if I can get to one of those big teams like the Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Man City, I think that'd be like nearly shooting myself in the head. That actually happened. So, yeah.
Jaden, now we're going to throw you on a different topic. We'll move away from the game. Now, we've been talking this morning about, and so you've come through, you're 21 years of age, so you started playing soccer 16, 17 years ago. And Brandy and I were saying, we're a bit older than you, quite obviously. When we were kids, grounds never got closed. You played sport, and the wet days were the best. Right now, right across the Sydney metropolitan area, it seems like every ground is shut. Kids aren't training, they're not going to play this weekend. It's, mate, is it dangerous? Like, when you came up, I would have cried if a game got called off. Were you the same? Like, you love the wet days playing as a kid.
Well, I think one of the best football happens on that. It's just raw, like either you sink or swim, you could say. Like if you can't play in all conditions, then you might not get as far. So I remember playing in getting absolutely muddy, have to go back to the car, not bring spare clothes because the rain come out of nowhere. And my parents would be like, you're not getting this guy, you can walk home. But obviously they let me back in, but you get filthy. But it was awesome. I remember a game where we were on artificial, was one of the first ones to come around. And it was torrential rain. The rain was going sideways. You couldn't even see like a ball in front of you. But you were still on there because there was no thunder. So I think games should be played as long as there's no harm to the kids or anyone, like with lightning and thunder and stuff. As long as it's just rain, it's not too bad. I think it should be played all around. It makes players better.
I agree. And it's, so what if the grounds get a bit of wear and tear come winter? Then that's part of it. But for kids' sport, we've got to play. Got to play. And I think you're spot on, Jane. And you remember, here you are recounting. Who would have thought you're recounting that story on radio this morning and you're speaking, glowingly about it. It's a great memory for you.
Yeah, it is, 100%. Like, I knew, even at school days, like primary school, high school, if it's bucketing down with rain and we're still allowed on the grass for lunchtimes and recess, we'd be out there. We'd be pouring rain, would we go in a classroom dripping down, and the teacher's like, why are you out there? It's like, because we love football. So I think as long as we can play, and football is a winter sport, so there's bound to be some rain involved. So I think we should get around allowing kids to play, and then we'll sort out pitches after the game's done.
That's right. And we had a text to say, but if we play on muddy grounds, it causes, especially for soccer, it causes the ground to be uneven, it dries hard and it's lumpy. But I was just thinking about that, like uneven grounds would be a challenge, but I think they'd sharpen your skills. Like if the ball moves late, like if you're about to kick a ball and it sort of pops up a little bit high or goes sideways a bit because the ground's uneven, that mightn't be a bad thing in the development of soccer players, because you need to be sharp, you need to be ready to take action if the ball moves slightly.
Yeah, I think like back in like when football was just starting, I'm pretty sure we don't have groundskeepers that we do these days that keep the fields immaculate around the world. And for grassroots, it should be the same. Like I think we should be able to play on everything. Like I said, it's, you get that rawness out and you get to adapt to every situation, because football is not the same game played every time you head out on the pitch. Everything's going to be different. Might be weather, might be the teammates, might be the opposition, and might be the field on the day. So I know we've played a couple games this season where the field's been okay, and then the field's been unreal at sometimes, but you still got to adapt because you've got a job to do. And I think it should be seen through development of youth and through professional football.
Now, Jaden, you've handled yourself very well here this morning, but now you've got questions or some comments from fans on the text line. This one, hey guys, huge FC fan here. Kucharski is a gun. Glad you're talking to him now, as he won't be playing in the league for long. That's from Andrew. And this one, can we ask Jaden, this is from Craig, can we ask Jaden how he rates the winner he scored against the Wanderers in front of the Cove at his home ground? To me, being in the Cove at the time was one of the best feelings I've had to date, that goal against the Wanderers.
Yeah, well, that was unreal. Seriously, I, like, being a Sydney fan, I've dreamt of scoring in a derby for a long time. Had a couple chances in the first game at home where I probably should have capitalised, but I didn't. And then to be able to do that in a late winner again for 90+8, I was like, I couldn't feel, it was absolute limbs, couldn't feel anything, didn't know what to do. You see, if you look at the video, I'm like kind of watching to see if the ball goes in, and when it goes in, I'm like, what do I do? Straight to the Cove. They've supported us the whole game throughout the whole season and countless years before that. So to celebrate with them and all the boys around, it's unreal.
Well, let's hope you have a moment like that against the Central Coast where you can celebrate in front of the Cove. It's been great chatting, Jaden. All the best when you take on the Mariners this weekend.
No worries. Thanks for having me on this morning, guys.
Good man. Jaden Kucharski, another young fella that we've had on the program, Dan Atkinson from the Sharks, was great this week. Jaden Kucharski handled himself very well on the program at a 7:45. If you want to get out there, it's at Allianz Stadium tomorrow night, Sydney FC against the Central Coast Mariners.
He's a stat man!
Now on Breakfast with Bossy and Brandy, Wally the Stats Man.
We often say the king of the stats is our man Wally from Fox Sports, but he really is the king of stats. Wally, what you've been able to come up with over the last few weeks, amazing, amazing. Welcome to the show.
Statue stuff.
Let's hope the streak can continue, Brandy.
Okay. Well, why don't you start off with the Panthers and the Dogs and be careful. Well, be careful. Go.
Well, Brandy, I think it is all pretty much good news for the Panthers. The Dogs, they have won back-to-back games. They're chasing three straight wins for the first time since late in 2019. There's plenty of former Panthers in their side, so they should be fired up. But as I said, the recent results just don't point to an upset. The Dogs have won all four games at home this season. They've lost all four games away. And their recent record against Penrith isn't great. The Panthers have won all six games against them since 2020. One of the seven teams Penrith's got a perfect record against over that period. They haven't trailed once in those six games, Penrith. They've scored early and led all the way. And I found a Vossi classic in this one. I know he loves these ones, but Penrith's won 16 of their last 17 round 10 games. In the NRL era, they've won 21 of 24 games in round 10. It's actually the second best record for any team in any round outside of Storm in round 1. So Penrith a lock for this game.
I'm putting the mortgage of the house on that, on the back of that stat, Wally. There we go. And if I lose my house, then I'll have to get one of yours down in Batlow. We'll have to be reasonably quick. Eels and Broncos, what do the numbers say here?
Yeah, Vossi, the Eels will be hoping that the poor record for Queensland teams at CommBank Stadium continues. The Broncos, Cowboys, Titans of Dolphins have only won one win from 12 games there. But outside of that, there's not a lot of hopeful news for the Eels. They're facing three straight losses for the first time since the opening three rounds of last year. And they got thumped by the Broncos last year, 54-10. Facing three straight losses against the Broncos for the first time in almost a decade. And they've had no Mitch Moses for a few weeks. Now there's no Clint Gutherson. They've only played twice about that pair since Moses joined the Eels in 2017. They got thumped both times. So not great news for the Eels.
Okay, well, Storm you've got Sharks. About 40 seconds.
20 seconds, even.
20.
Well, this one will be outright first on the ladder for the winner. No team's missed the finals in the NRL era with 8 wins through 10 games. So a good one to win for Storm and Sharks. Storm's definitely had the upper hand recently. They've won 7 of the past 9, including 5 straight wins at Amy Park against the Sharks. They're going for 15 straight at home. It'll be their equal best record at a home venue for the Storm. And this is just the Sharks' second meeting against the team currently in the top 8 this year. They defeated the Bulldogs in round 2, but we've talked a few times. They don't have a good record against top sides for the past few years, the Sharks. I think the Storm will win this one.
Legend, Walt.
Good on you, boys.
Oh, I think I know which way you're going for the Vossiokia. There's only one way to go.
Yeah. Well, it's all throwback stuff, but can I just say, before Vossiaki, straight out of the news, because it is Throwback Thursday, we're going to have Luke Diamond Phillips on the program. We're also going to throw back to one of your first interviews 39 years ago.
Ooh.
You have got to hear this. Everyone can play, I can critique it. The no personality young Greg Alexander interview, wait, you've got to hear it. It is sensational stuff. Mindy, the producer, has uncovered this from the archives. Vossiokie, Billy Joel, 75 today. To take you up the news, sing along with this.
When you put your arms around me, I haven't been there for the longest time. Whoa. Your